وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلوات الله وسلامه عليه أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam has told us in an authentic hadith when he said, ما من عبد مؤمن إلا وله ذنب هو يعتاده الفينة بعد الفينة أو هو عليه مقيم لا يفارقه حتى يفارق الدنيا. There is not a servant, a believing servant, except that that person, he has some sin that he does from time to time, or that he does consistently, and he will not leave that sin until he leaves the dunya. We have not ceased to see this prophetic tradition being manifested every single day in our lives, and there is something that we want to touch upon, and in fact we've spoke upon it at least three times now, but I guess we have to submit to the sunnah of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, in that this is just going to be the case with the people, that there are going to be certain things that we're going to do consistently, and we're not going to leave these things until we leave the dunya. In the same hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went on to say, إِنَّ الْمُؤْمِنْ خُلِقَ فَتَّانٍ نَسِيَّ إِذَا ذُكِّرَ ذَكَرَ. Verily the believer has been created to be tried, and also to forget. So if he is reminded, he remembers. So inshaAllah ta'ala, this kalima is just some nasiha again to the brothers, to remember that we are a community or an ummah that has been ordered to obey and to follow the leadership. And one of those times that is extremely important in obeying the leadership is when we are behind the imam and we are praying. Wallahi, there are still people who are racing the imam in the movements from one position to the next position. And this is no doubt from the shaitan. And we know that the man will come to the prayer, and a prayer like Salat al-Fajr, which is one of the most difficult prayers on the munafiqeen, the man comes to the prayer for Salat al-Fajr and he leaves from his Salat and he only gets 1/6 of what which he prayed, or 1/8 of that which he prayed. So to get out of his bed and to make this tremendous effort and then to go back with nothing in his hands is a true loss. And we said before that the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as Al-Imam Ahmed has brought in his famous treatise that he wrote called Asul al-Sunnah, the very first principle that they said was from the Asul, that he said was from the Asul, was وَالسُنَّةُ عِنْدَنَا الْإِقْتِدَاءُ بِمَا كَانَ عَلَيْهِ أَصْحَابُ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. And the first principle to us is following what the Sahabas of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was on. So they told us what? They said that when the Prophet ﷺ went into his sajda, they would not move until the Prophet ﷺ's forehead actually touched the ground. And he ﷺ, he told us and he ordered us to follow the imam. When the imam does what he does, then we do what the imam does. And not we race and compete with the imam in those things. As a matter of fact, as you all know, there are many ahadith that come to warn us of proceeding or racing with the imam. And no doubt Allah Ta'ala has told us to race in that which is good. وَسَارِئُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ أَرْضُهَا كَالسَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضُ أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. All of you should be in a race to do good and to seek the forgiveness of your Lord and to seek the paradise whose width is that like the heavens and the earth. But here, this race is not permissible for us to race with the imam. The Prophet ﷺ told us it may be that people will raise the imam in raising up their heads and looking into the sky, and Allah tabarak wa ta'ala will make their heads like the heads of jackasses. So with that being the case, ikhwan, as we said again on many occasions, one of the simat or the characteristics of the people of hadith is that when you come in upon them in their masjid, you are able to identify very quickly that these people are people of the sunnah, that these people are people who are praying according to the way that the Prophet ﷺ prayed, and that you see them taking their sutras, you see them raising their hands where they're supposed to raise their hands, you see them making the sajda the way that it's supposed to be. But as it relates to this salat behind the imam, there's also a certain amount of discipline that has to be exemplified. And the only reason that the man is raising the imam, no doubt, is because our hearts are not connected to what we're really doing. We're doing the mechanics, but the true meaning of the salat is not being trying to be obtained or attained by the prayer. So we encourage you brothers to keep this in mind. When we come to the masjid, we have to not raise the imam. The people who are in the front row, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, خير الصفوف الرجال أولها وشرها آخرها. The best row of the men is the first row, and the worst row for the men is the last row. Those brothers who are in the first row, you have an amanah, in that if the imam makes a mistake, normally it's the people from the first row who are going to correct the mistake. If the imam loses his salat, it's the person from the first row who's going to be taken to put to lead the salat. If the imam makes some type of movement, like he goes down when he shouldn't go down, he comes up when he shouldn't come up, the people in the first row are the ones who have been made responsible to pay attention to that, to tell the people in the back row. So we see that the people in the front row are erasing the imam, and they themselves see the imam in front of them. So the brothers who come to the first row, do not be of the people who are racing. And the people who are behind them and who are behind them should base their movements upon the people who are in front of them. Keep in mind, ikhwan, that the Prophet ﷺ has told us, إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَتَبَ الْإِحْسَانَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. Verily Allah has written, prescribed, made obligatory, al-ihsan, perfection on everything. So if you kill, kill well. If you slaughter, slaughter well. If you pray, pray well. Pray to the best of your ability. So we say this, insha'Allah ta'ala, as a remembrance, hoping that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala will give us the tawfiq not to fall into the serious error of racing the imam and not following the imam. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum wa nasrullah tabarak wa ta'ala lana wa lakum al-thabat wa tawfiq. Concerning the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, verily the imam has been made so as to be followed. So if he makes the takbir and he says Allahu Akbar, you people should also say Allahu Akbar. And if he starts to read the Quran, you people should be quiet. And if he makes ruku, you should make ruku to the end of this hadith. The question is that, based upon this hadith, many people understand that the people who are following the imam, they have to follow the imam in all that they do, in all that he does. To the point that if the imam was to leave off that which is a rukn for the salah, or that which is a sunnah for the salah, they likewise have to leave it off. If the imam, for an example, does not raise his hands, then you shouldn't raise your hands. Even though raising the hands is from the sunnah of the Anbiya. If the imam has made two rak'ats of Salatul Maghrib, and he didn't sit down for the tashahud, and he decides to stand up without making the tashahud, they say that you likewise should follow the imam in doing that. concerning the issues of that which is authentically brought to us from the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it appears that we also have a lot of texts that tell us, along with this text, there's a text that says to follow the imam in the salah. But then we have other texts that clearly tell us to follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and not to follow the created thing in that which is in disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and what Allah has legislated. So with that being the case, whenever the imam does that which is not from the salat, like he doesn't raise his hands where he's supposed to raise his hands, and he doesn't do the things that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us to do in the salat, then because we have those other texts that tell us to do that which, to disobey the created thing when they are doing that which is wrong, then that's what the person should do. He should follow the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. As for the issue of the imam making a mistake like not making the tashahud, and he gets up for the third rak'ah, whether or not we should get up right after that, after saying to him, subhanAllah, trying to get him to realize, hey, you have to get up. You have to get up and complete the salah. If he refuses to get up, what do we do in that case? We're going to leave that to the imam to explain, insha'Allahu tabarak wa ta'ala.
You didn't give the example of a salat. How many rak'ahs? Salatul Maghrib, he sits down for two and he doesn't stand up.
Stands up for the third.
Without sitting down.
Without making the tashahhud.
Well, this is clear. It comes in the hadith of the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, so authentic, that you just stand up with the Messenger of Allah. And as they stood up with the Messenger of Allah, sallam, the people stand up with the imam. That whatever he does, they do. And that they have to follow him in the salat on every move that he makes. And then afterwards, inshallah, hopefully he would realize before the salat is over where's the mistake and correct it. Or he will have to be informed after the salat and then he will correct it likewise. And all of these examples, alhamdulillah, had took place with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As this is how we know, he is the first one, alayhi salatu wasalam, to stand up without making the tashahhud and to explain to us what to do if this ever takes place. Likewise, the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, he made of dhuhr or asr two rak'ahs instead of four. Left the salat, left the masjid, the people arguing, debating over the issue. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam come, what's going on? They explained to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you made salat two rak'ahs. He looking, so-and-so is mistaken, I know what I'm doing. And then they said, no, Ya Rasulullah, you did make two. So he completed the rest of the salat, the two rak'ahs, and made the prostrations of as-sahu, alayhi salatu wasalam. We have in the other hadith of the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, made dhuhr, I think it was five rak'ahs, alayhi salatu wasalam. And the Muslims followed him in it, sallallahu alayhi wasalam. And then the verdicts pertaining to all of those mistakes were dealt with. Really what I was hoping that the brother had dealt with, and that's why I asked him to talk instead of myself, that the issue that's been coming up, if the imam, for example, if he's making salat with his hands to his side, like the Malikis make salat, and you happen to be in the masjid behind the imam like that, do you follow the imam? This is what I really wanted the point to come to, inshallah, so that there's some clarification, inshallah ta'ala. And I know this is going to seem like an opposition to Imam al-Dhahabi, afadahullah, and then he can make his defense, inshallah. That the ulama, they say that so long as the imam is performing his salat out of his ijtihad, that he's complying to the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, صَلُّ كَمَا رَأَيْتُمُونِي يُصَلِّي, make salat the way you see me make salat, so long as this is what he's trying to do, then you have to follow that imam in everything he does. And this is what is meant by the statement إِنَّمَا جُعِلَ الْإِمَامُ لِيَأْتَمَّ بِهِ, that the Imam has only been placed there to be followed. And we have some examples, and I think I mentioned it before in the past, by our Shaykh Muhammad Nasiruddin al-Albani, hafizahullah, as he said that to come up after rukur and put your hands on your chest is a bid'ah. وَكُلُّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ وَكُلُّ ضَلَالَةٍ فِي النَّارٍ. We know that this is the way the major scholars in Arabia make their salah. And the Shaykh was mentioning one time that he made salah behind Bin Baz, and Bin Baz did it, and he followed him in it, even though he knew that it was a bid'ah, and every bid'ah is dalala, and every dalala is in the fire. Why? Because he's been commanded to follow the Imam. And that he knew that the Imam, out of his ijtihad, was trying to practice the Sunnah as best that he could. And when you know that someone's trying to practice the Sunnah as best as he knows, in everything, you have to follow the Imam. Then when it comes to your Sunnah, what you see to be the way of the Messenger of Allah, you doing your Sunnah and not behind the Imam. And then he went to say that the examples go on like that. He said, however, in the case where you have some of the deviant people who follow their own desires, who want to do whatever they want to, and they're not looking at any of the texts of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but they're just blindly following whoever, and they have a lot of resistance to the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not that they're mistaken out of their ijtihad, but that it's willfully leaving off the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, in this case only, he won't be followed. Rather, he said, it's a debate, should you make salah behind this type of person? Outside of that case, that the Imam is supposed to be followed in every case, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best.
Here again, as we said, in that we have other texts that order us not to follow the created thing in disobedience to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has legislated. After listening to the point of view that was brought by one of the famous students of knowledge of Ash-Sheikh Muqbil ibn Hadi there in Egypt by the name of Usam ibn Abdul Latif al-Qusi, he talked about this issue and about the position that the Imam just mentioned about al-Imam Nasiruddin al-Albani and what he said concerning what Ibn Baz did. And it seems, and Allah knows best, that in the Salah, because we have those other proofs that tell us not to obey and to follow the Sunnah and to obey Allah and His Messenger, and so forth and so on, in both hadith, or in both instances, follow the Imam. The Imam has been made to be followed. The Imam has been made to be followed in that which Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala has legislated. So if he makes his ijtihad, and the other person is making his ijtihad as well, then whose ijtihad has more precedence over the other person's ijtihad? The Imam feels that his ijtihad is that you should put his hands back on his chest after he came up from ruku. And your ijtihad leads you to understand, no, it's not even from the sunnah. That's a deviation. That's an innovation, I mean. So who makes his ijtihad obligatory over your ijtihad? Keeping in mind, yes, that there's a hadith that the Imam has been made to be followed. But the other hadith, as we were mentioned, obey Allah and obey His Messenger. Those hadith, there's no obedience to the creation when it entails the disobedience of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. And in trying to make the tawfiq or the harmonization, which is something that we should always try to do, whenever we have seemingly two opposing points of view, based upon text and not upon opinion. On one side, the hadith said, follow the Imam. The other hadith say, follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Listen to what he is. Don't follow the person when he's wrong. Whenever we have a situation like this, we have to try to harmonize it so as not to work with one of the proof and to leave the other proof. And here the possibility or the capability of harmonizing seems to be extremely difficult. It seems that it has to be either this or that. So I have not seen up until this point any harmonization of the issue that will make a person feel, well, this is the safest thing to harmonize between this and that. It seems like it's something that can't be harmonized. So based upon those principles of Usul al-Fiqh, as we said, based upon the principle of obeying the Prophet alayhi salatu wassalam and not obeying other people when it entails disobeying Allah's Messenger alayhi salatu wassalam, it seems like the other position is the position that is correct, and Allah Ta'ala knows best.
The Sheikh, he also explained that really there's no opposition of text here. That there's no opposition of the text at all here. And to make the issue real clear, the Messenger of Allah, he taught us to follow the Imam. And on the other hand, he taught us not to disobey Allah in obedience to the creation. However, in this issue in specific, the Messenger of Allah taught us follow him anyway. This is if he left off the rukn of the salah. How much more so if it's his jihad? When the Prophet ﷺ salamed out of two, after two rak'ahs, he salamed out and he left it. Is it permissible for someone to make the salam out after two? If the imam didn't realize, subhanallah, he doesn't know, he's making the tashahud, nobody knows he's going to do the salam. When he says, salamu alaykum, it's too late, subhanallah, salamu alaykum, rahmatullah, he finished the salah. All they can do is tell him, you only made two rak'ahs, it's dhuhr. Oh, subhanallah, I forgot. And he's going to come and bring the rest of them, as we saw in the case of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, in the same case, when he made five rak'ahs, that the people followed him in that, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he showed what was the way to handle that. So here, if there was any opposition between the two texts, then the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, could have explained that you should not have followed me. And if anybody makes these types of mistakes, then don't follow the imam, as there's no disobedience to Allah in obedience to the creation. But rather, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam just taught that the people follow the imam all the way through, and then if something takes place after that, then that can be dealt with after that. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam specified that this is going to be the case when he's followed with what he does, and that this thing of disobedience to the creation, it's not disobedience to the creation. If the person is following someone who says, for example, he's not raising his hands in the salah, or if you take the case that we mentioned from the case with Al-Albani and Bin Baz, and that Bin Baz put his hands on his thing, if you ask him, why you put your hands on your chest in disobedience to Allah and His Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, Ibn Baz will say, in obedience to Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So really on this issue of a difference of an opinion, it's not that the person leading the salat is actually doing a disobedience to Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's just that the other person differs with him and sees him to be incorrect, not that he's just doing something disobedient to Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, intentionally, as we separated the case of somebody who's deviant, who just doesn't listen to the sunnah, just does whatever he wants to, as we heard that some people used to lead the salat, Allah is the greatest, the name of Allah, the beneficent, the merciful. Alright, if somebody is just leading the salat like that, you try to explain to him, it has to be in Arabic and what have you, and he doesn't accept like that. This is a case where the person, as the Shaykh said, we're even going to doubt, should you make salat behind him? But if you're going to make salat behind him, then the Messenger of Allah ﷺ specified in this case, you're going to follow him. And he also mentioned in the other text, to make it even clearer for us, if he's wrong, it's only against him. Meaning the Imam. If he's wrong, it's only against him. And it's for you and your favor. And if he's right, then it's in his favor and in your favor. So the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he made it clear, even when the imam is mistaken, that it's only against him, and the people have been commanded to follow the one who is leading the salah. And this is what is meant by the imam, not that he is the imam of the masjid, but whoever is leading the people in the salah, then the other people would have to follow him like this. And then if he was wrong, then that's only against him and not against the people behind him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. You have to follow. So whatever he does, you do. Then, when it comes to outside of that, when you're making your sunnah salah, you say, I don't see that to be the sunnah, so I'm not doing that. But when you're with him, or you've been commanded to follow him, what case are you going to use to say, I don't have to follow the imam? Course, that's in disobedience, as the text mentioned, that's in disobedience to Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The other text will be brought that, and we had cases, and I think we had mentioned the case where, I forgot who the leader was, he led them in Fajr for 4 raka'ahs. And I think Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was in that salat. And the leader, he used to drink, and he said, when everybody looked at him, like, you made Fajr 4 raka'ahs, he looked back at everybody and said, what, you want me to do some more? And you got a lot of examples of the one leading the salat being wrong with the people behind him, having to follow him, and that's only when they're with them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. I don't know if that's clarifying.
See, I would understand if the person is making those many times, if you have to, you know, you follow until the person is finished. I can understand you wouldn't salam out after you know it's true, so you salam out, let him go on to his thing. So you follow that person until it's over, then you explain. I understand that part. The only part I was having, maybe this be, I was having a problem understanding if something in the salam, like the person's come up before, you don't put your hands on your chest if the person.
Because you only have to follow the imam in the arkan of the salah.
Yeah, because the examples that you had gave, it was like that.
From the arkan of the salah.
Yeah, the arkan of the salah. Something that's reported in the salah. Yeah, of course you have to follow it. You have to do that. You have no other choice. But that's something that's not obligatory in the salah anyway. It would be like somebody would say, well, this is a sunnah.
Alright, you say it's a sunnah. Alright.
But
then
it's a sunnah that's not, it's not a sunnah, really, because it's an innovation, as you were saying. There's something that they didn't do. So I was having problems understanding that specific part. You say it was an innovation, this is something that didn't take place. And that was typical hadith, as far as you know, you put your hands up on your chest.
After before. Alright, the Sheikh is just saying that he's been commanded to follow him. And if he's wrong, who is it against?
It's only against him now.
That's it. If he's wrong, it's only against him. And this is out of his ijtihad that he's wrong. Why was he wrong? He was trying to follow the sunnah. And this is why we made the difference between the one who is wrong that's not trying to follow the sunnah and the one who is wrong who's trying to follow the sunnah. And this is why it's important that we look at someone's methodology to see if he's trying to do what's good, because a person who's trying to do what's good and he's wrong is going to be different, looked at in a different light, than the one who's intentionally trying to be wrong.
But what's the sunnah? I didn't understand. What's the sunnah? That particular hadith is not, if it's not offensive, that you put your hands on your chest after you come up from the pool. I'm just saying, and if you know that,
the hadith that that they use as proof is authentic. It's just that you misunderstood the text. And then if Sawfullah, if I make the statement, you can imagine if Ibn Baz was sitting right there and I say Ibn Baz misunderstood the text and said it meant like that and give him the mic, can imagine what he's going to say in defense of himself. And then everybody's going to say, who are you to say after Ibn Baz said that? So the issue is, on some of these points, it's going to be the issue of, you know, what do you see to be correct? So on these points, everybody's trying to practice the sunnah. And then it's going to be in whose light that you're looking at, is it the sunnah or not? So when the imam is doing these things, how is somebody going to have the excuse to say that I'm not being disobedient to Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam? When if you ask the person, he can show you his side on how it's from Islam. Anyway, this is all I know. This is what we presented. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Yes.
You know, in that area that we have a message that...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I don't know anybody, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, I don't know anybody who said that this invalidates your salah. I don't know anybody who said that whoever made salah like this, this invalidates their salah. And if somebody said it, then it's going to be, I don't know if it's millions of Muslims who make salah like that, that they ain't Muslims if they don't have no salah. If his salah is invalid, every salah he makes, that means he ain't making no salah. What kind of deen he on, he's not making any type of salah. And really, it's a big discussion, and it's no way that I'm going to present it. I mentioned to some of the brothers before that the Imam Ibn Abdul Barr, rahimullah, in its Tamheed, which is the explanation of the Muwatta of Imam Malik, when he gets to the hadith on this issue of putting the hands on the chest, and Imam Malik, rahimullah, he brings this hadith in his Muwatta of putting your hands on your chest. And this used to be the biggest argument against the people who said that they followed the Maliki Madhab. Well, Imam Malik is the one who narrates the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ with the authentic chain of putting your hands on your chest. Why, if you say you follow him, why you don't follow this hadith he brought you? At any rate, Ibn Abdul Barr, he brings about an 80-page discussion on this issue. And he went all the way back, and I didn't remember clearly, was it from the Tabi'een or the Tabi'een, where the people made salat with their hands like this. I mean, there was too many narrations to be checking all the narrations, but he was showing who were the people who made the salat like this, and mentioning what was their proofs and this and that, and so on. Though he ended up, inshallah, making the statement that it's clear from what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did and commanded to do, and all of the prophets did, and that the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As far as making the salat behind that person, I didn't hear the example of the sheikh, and I heard him mention some other examples before, but I didn't hear him mention that example. But the example that he mentioned the example of putting your hands on your chest after rukur, which was considered a bid'ah clearly by him, and he followed in that, and how much for the things that were less than that. And I think the issue is going to be, as the Shaykh explained, looking back to somebody's methodology. If he's just deviant and out of it, then the issue is going to be, should you even go to that masjid and make salat with them if they're not trying to follow what's correct, or they're just following their own desires, as opposed to someone who's trying to follow what's correct? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Everything's to me. I thought I was taking a break. Now go ahead.
Okay, what happened? What's the word? So what happened? Okay, this masjid, this imam, praise come up, and the other one prays according to the way we know from the sunnah.
you have half the people go to this masjid, the imam doesn't pray the way he prays. So they don't follow him. You've been commanded to follow this imam. They don't follow him because, hey, we don't pray like that out here, man. We pray like this in the masjid. You got half the masjid, or these people came from elsewhere, you pray this way, and the imam prays different, so they don't follow him. And you've been commanded to follow him. And vice versa, when he comes in, what happens?
You're saying, how are you going to follow two different imams?
One imam prays, same place that we pray here. When we come up from Ruku, we don't come up here. You don't pray like that. You say you, for instance, in half of each given this masjid, we go to another masjid where they do this. Okay. I mean, you know, but I'm saying, for instance, it don't have to be this way. It could be someone else, and they don't follow him, but they say, we don't pray like that. That's a bid'ah. I mean, just say, for instance, you know, they have folks who both have Texas. Would you be wrong for not following him? I'm just saying, would you be wrong if you didn't do that? If this would take place, right? What would happen?
The general text of...
But you see it all the time here.
The general text of no obedience to the creation and disobedience to the Creator. This is general. This issue of the Salat, the Messenger of Allah made it here specifically. This is how this thing works. You follow who, the one who's been placed in charge. I don't know anything other than that. Allah knows best. I think the Sheikh had explained that this is when you know the Salat of the Imam. Okay, you don't know the Salat of the Imam, you've been commanded to look at the place of prostration. What you going to do? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Has a question, inshallah, they compose it. I don't have no contacts on, I can't really see through it at all. That's why I didn't want to do the talk. Somebody's raising his hand looking at me. I can't tell he's raising his hand. Saying it at the same time, inshallah. If they're not saying it at the same time, then you can hear me. If they're not saying it at the same time, you can hear me. For example, if they say it before me, Ameen, everybody says Ameen, then I say Ameen. Or if I say Ameen and everyone says it after me, you can hear it. But if I say it at the same time that 70 brothers saying it, then you're not going to hear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
I have a question in relation to that. I've been freedom's sake, I mean at all. So you're saying in context of what we just spoke about, you're saying that the people following such a person leading a Salah shouldn't say I mean after Al Fatiha.
Prophet says, either Amman al Imam or fa aminu. When the Imam says Ameen, then you say Ameen. The Imam says Ameen, you say Ameen. And this is why we're going to go back to the beginning. Some people, they never knew that you're supposed to say Ameen if you leave the Salat. Maybe that's all he heard. But after you present it to him, then he knows that this is from the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah, that the one leading the Salat has to say Ameen. And we know an example of one of the brothers of Sahrullah, who's the Imam who leads the Salat. Some of the people of the Sunnah, they went and they brought this hadith to him and said, you jamming us up. We're supposed to say Ameen when the Imam says Ameen. And as the Prophet ﷺ said, فَمَنْ وَافَقُ تَأْمِينَهُ تَأْمِينُ الْمَلَائِكَ غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ. That whoever has his Ameen, agrees with the Ameen of the angels, which is at the time when the Imam says the Ameen, then he has all of his past sins forgiven. They said, Akhi, you messing up. We trying to get our sins forgiven. You won't say Ameen, so we can say Ameen, because we have to follow the Imam. So from now on, say Ameen. Then the brother said, man, I ain't saying no Ameen. Get out of here. All right. Like that, now the issue is going to be questioned if you're going to make Salat with him or not. That it's best to move out of his area, whatever, not to live with somebody who intentionally just don't want to practice Islam and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Assalamu alaikum wa
rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.